where we started this morning, 1 Kings 20, verse 28, and we'll shoot over to James 1. I had 4 points in this message. We got through the first one, so the other three come tonight. Nathaniel, got that? Huh? Okay, come on up here. Nathaniel learned a lot of scripture last week. He's going to quote some of it for you right now, right? Go. Amen. Amen. That's good. It's a blessing when kids can hide scripture in their heart. Amen. Any other kids last week memorize scripture that you'd like to share with us that maybe a different verse than he did? Anybody? Kids, come on. Anybody? Trying to give you an opportunity. What do you got? Stand up. Get up. Get out here. Come down here. Get up here. I'm going to make you really... We're going to see how serious you are. All right, stop chewing gum for a moment.
Psalms 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens.
Got any more? Yep, go ahead.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork.
Where's that found?
That is Psalms 8:1. Uh-huh.
No. Is that 19:1?
Psalms 19:1.
Okay, good, good. Amen, amen. All right, excellent. Any other kids? Yes? Come on. Come on down. Amen. Amen. That's a blessing. Are you cold? Are you cold? Your lips are blue. Your teeth and lips are blue. Are you cold? Oh, you're sucking on something blue. Okay. Her voice is almost back. The other day it was even worse. Still hoarse. They screamed so much last week, I guess. Anybody else that went to junior camp? No? Have some verses they want to do? Anybody else? All right, giving you the opportunity. We're bragging on you a little bit. Amen? Kids should know scripture. Some of you have got more scripture memorized than some of the adults. Amen. All right, I guess we're done. Okay, 1 Kings 20, 28. It says in 1 Kings 20, 28, I'll just read the one verse, and then we'll go to James. There came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if you read the next few verses, which I did this morning, 127,000 people God got rid of because of that. He was simply showing not only Israel, he was showing the Syrians and everybody that he was God. The title of the message this morning was God of the Mountains and God of the Valleys. James chapter 1. And our God is the God, no matter what we're going through. If we're going through, if we're on the mountaintop with all kinds of wonderful things going on in our life, he's there. He loves us. But if we're going through a deep, dark valley and we're going through all kinds of problems in our life, God is still there. And he is the God of the mountains. He's the God of the valley. He knows what's going on in our life. We just have to trust him. Remember, faith is determined by the trust that you put in him. That's important for us to look at. Number one thing this morning that I said is a joyful attitude. You got to have a joyful attitude if you're going to go through this. James chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when. And so not if, not maybe, but when ye fall into diverse temptations. It's coming, folks. Your problems are just there. You're either going through a valley now, or you've been through the valley, or you're going to go through a valley in the near future. You just don't know when. But the good news is you're going to go through one. But the great news is God can go through it with you. He never lets us go through a valley alone without him. That's a blessing. Count it all joy when. The second thing we'll look at is found in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Have an understanding mind. An understanding mind. That's the second main point here of this message, because the first word of verse 3 is what? Knowing. Knowing. You got to know what it is that you're going through. You got to know how God can help you through that valley. You've got to know that. Knowing this. You got to have that knowledge. Let's pray. Father, thank you again that we could gather together tonight. Lord, thank you for bringing all these people back this evening. Lord, we pray that you'd bless in each and every life. We pray, Lord, that you'd move upon us in a great and mighty way. Help us, Lord, to learn this, that you are the God of the mountains, but you're also the God of the valleys. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. No matter what it is we're going through, whether we're on the mountaintop or we're in a deep, dark valley, you're there. You love us the same, no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through. Lord, we praise you and thank you for this blessed book that you've given to us that helps us with all these different things that we go through. Lord, bless the message tonight, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. An understanding mind. We have to have an understanding mind. What do Christians know that makes it easier to face trials and benefit from them? Let me give you five things here. Write these five things down under this point of what Christians know that makes it easier to face trials and benefit from them. Number one, faith is always tested. Write that down. Faith is always tested. You claim to have faith, God will test your faith. It'll happen. Abraham was tested, right? You think about what Abraham went through. What did Abraham go through? I mean, not only just waiting for that son that God had promised him, I believe it took 25 years from the time that God told Abraham to the time he got his son, took all that time of God testing Abraham. But remember in Genesis chapter 22 what God told Abraham to do? Take your son that he had promised up on Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice. What did Abraham do? Did it without even asking questions. That was his faith showing through. His faith was being tested, and he passed the test with flying colors. How many times have you passed the test with flying colors? How many times have you failed the test with flying colors? Yeah. Right? I mean, we've all gone through those things. But just remember, faith is always tested. Always. God tests to bring out the best. Satan tempts to bring out the worst. Understand and remember that. God always tests to bring out the best. Always. Number two, testing works for us, not against us. Testing works for us, not against us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter 1, 7. Testing works for us, not against us. 1 Peter 1, verse 7 through 9. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving this end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. How many of you can quote Romans 8:28? Quote it, Mrs. Schuster, for us. Amen. That's exactly what it says. Praise God for that. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Sometimes we leave that little phrase off. We leave part of the verse out. We tell people, oh, all things work together for good to them that love God. It's important. And to them who are called according to His purpose. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. First, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. Second Corinthians 4, verse 17. Y'all there? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. Testing works for us, not against us. Don't you ever, 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 ever think that God is against you going through a trial or a temptation or whatever it is. Don't ever think that God is against you. He's not against you. He's for you. And these testings that we go through, they work for us, not against us. Number three, trials can help us mature, and God knows we need patience. Trials can help us mature, and God knows we need patience. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 3. Romans 5, verse 3, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How important is that? And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You're going through some testing, you're going through some trials. It's there to help you mature as a Christian. And God knows that you need patience. I need some water. I need patience and I need water. Trash. While I'm drinking this, well, just a minute, I'll give you the number four. Well, now that messed up really good. As long as I don't spill it on me, I'll be fine. Coffee, I'll spill. All right, number four. Patience is the key to every other blessing. Patience is the key to every other blessing. Do you know a child has to learn patience before he can learn other things? You think about that. In training your children, you have to train them in a way that they learn patience. Every kid is going to fight over a toy that somebody else has, and you have to train them and teach them, no, you can't have that right now. You have to wait. Or how many times do you take a kid to a store and they yell and scream for something that they want, and you know that you shouldn't ever reward them when they're screaming for something in the store. Amen. You don't reward them with that. They can scream and yell all they want. You just take them home screaming and yelling. Just get them out of the store as quickly as possible. Don't you reward them. Don't you say, okay, I give up, you know. Because they'll scream and yell the next time they go to the store. They'll want something else, and they'll just yell and scream until you give it to them. A child has to learn patience before he can learn other things, and you and I have to learn patience because we're learning every day of our life. And number five, Bible study, strengthens our faith and helps us going through trials. Bible study strengthens our faith and helps us going through trials. Zondervan did a study. They're a big Bible publisher. They did a study a few years ago, and it's somewhat alarming. I want you to listen to these statistics closely and carefully. The average Christian in America has 11 Bibles in the house. That's the average Christian, the average. Some have more, some have less. But the average Christian has 11 Bibles in the house. The average American, Christian or not even a Christian, the average American has 4 Bibles in their house. That's the average American, has 4 Bibles in their house. This is alarming. 700 people, this is their study, what it shows, 700 people a day quit reading the Bible. They used to read it. 700 people a day. That's 255,000 some odd per year just stop reading their Bible that used to read it. That's alarming. But I guess that's what they came, that's their study, not mine. I'm just telling you what they said. 700 people a day quit reading the Bible that used to read. People who read the Bible less than 4 times a week, listen to this, those of you that read your Bible less than 4 times a week, it says, did not change their behavior at all. Those that read their Bible 4 times or more showed and experienced victory in their life. What do I tell you and pound into you all the time? Read your Bible what? Every day. Every day you read your Bible. It's only going to help you. It's like the doctor that gives you a prescription, and if you take the prescription, it'll help you to feel better, get over whatever it is. But if you don't take it, you just keep on suffering. Now, how many Christians today, they know that they're supposed to read their Bible every day, but they get up late in the morning, or they get busy doing other things, or that stupid television has you hooked on it, and you spend sitting there watching that all the time, or your computer, or your phone, or whatever it is, your little electronic device today, that they've done more harm than good, I think. But again, if you read your Bible more than 4 times a week, you'll have victory in your life. And so the Bible study strengthens our faith and helps us going through the trials that we're going through. How often have maybe you have given somebody some advice that came to you, they're going through a difficult time, what do you tell them? Read your Bible. And you might even give them some good passages out of the book of Psalms or John or some other places that might really help them. Depending on what they're going through, you can kind of pinpoint what it is they're going through, and you can prescribe some verses that helps somebody. We all should know where to go in the Bible when we're going through some difficult times in our life. We should know that. You should know that. You should be able to tell somebody else where to go in their Bible. All right, number 3 main point. James chapter 1, verse 4. Need to have a surrendered will. A surrendered will. James 1, 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. That word perfect means mature here. And entire, wanting nothing. That means lacking nothing. I'll read it again. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You and I have to have a surrendered will to God. You've got to surrender your will to God's will. That is a big problem with Christians today. They don't want to surrender their will to God's will. They want to do it their way. They want to have their own things. We're sometimes we act like a bunch of babies. We act like a bunch of kids. We need to have a surrendered will. God cannot build our character without our cooperation. He cannot. He will not build your character without you cooperating with me, cooperating. We have to cooperate with God if we want that character to be built the way that God wants it to be built. Many Christians, again, shelter themselves from the trials of life. They wrap themselves up in bubble wrap, and they don't want to have any trials whatsoever. Nobody wants to go through trials. Nobody likes to go through these trials. But some people just shelter themselves from them so much that they're not allowing God to work in their life. And the result is they never, ever grow up. They're pacifier-sucking Christian, baby Christians for the rest of their life. Little kids like their little pacifiers. They're pas. Paul calls them his, little Paulie calls it his pa. When he comes into the school or in the church with his pa, he says, give me that pa. And it becomes a little game, and he chuckles and runs away with sucking on that thing. Or they have to have their little blanket, right, for comfort. Got to have a blanket. Maybe some of you adults still have your blanket. Maybe you have to have that at night or whenever it is you get into trouble, you hug your blanket or whatever. But we need to grow up, folks. Christians need to grow up. Christians need to mature. Don't try to shelter yourself from trials. They're going to come. It's inevitable. I already said that. It's going to happen. It's in the forecast. It's on the horizon. Trials are going to come. Don't shelter yourself from them. Say to God, okay, God, I'm in the midst of a trial. What am I learning from this trial? What can I glean from this? What can I learn from this? How can I grow up a little bit more, God? Lord, you must know that I'm immature in an area and I need to grow up. And God will reveal it to you. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. 8 and 9. Well, 8, 9, and 10. We all know what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and 10 says, right? Probably some of us have it memorized. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Now, here we see there are three works involved in a complete Christian. Three works. Jot these down if you'd like, but there are three works involved in a complete Christian's life. First of all, the first one is the work that God does for us, that's salvation. Right? It says there, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That's the work that God does for us. He saves our soul. Secondly is the work that God does in us. That's sanctification. Verse 10 says, for we are his, say it, workmanship. That's sanctification. God is setting you apart for some work that he has for you and I to do. That's again, we have salvation. That's what God is doing for us. We have sanctification. That is what God is doing in us. And then thirdly, we have the work of God that does it. He does through us. That's service. Service. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Every Christian should be striving to do work for God. Yep. Every Christian ought to be striving to do some kind of work for God. He saved you to serve him. He didn't save you just to sit and do absolutely nothing in your Christian life. He didn't save you for that purpose. He saved you for a purpose that he has for you and for I. We have to find out what that will is that God has for us, but he has saved us to do something for him. What are you doing for God? Is there something that you that God has laid on your heart? Is there some way that maybe God is pulling you in that direction to do something for him? He saved us. He sanctified us for his service. God builds character before he calls into service. If you want to serve God somewhere, maybe down the road, maybe you want to be a preacher someday. Maybe some of the young men here want to be a preacher. Maybe some of the ladies want to be a pastor's wife, a missionary's wife, an evangelist, a wife, somebody doing something for God. God has to build that character before he can call into service. He's not going to call you into service unless he's building your character. I think there's a lot of young men today going off into the ministry that their character is flawed. Their character has not been built by God. Their character has been built by the world, and they're falling flat on their face in the ministry, and they're not doing what God wants them to do because they have not allowed God to build that character that God has to build. Again, I already said Abraham. God spent 25 years working before he gave him his promised son. I mean, think about the patience that Abraham had to have in order to go through that time. Joseph, God spent 13 years putting Joseph through all kinds of trials and tests before placing him on the throne of Egypt. Moses, God dealt with Moses 80 years to use him for 40 years, right? Think about that. The disciples, Christ worked with them for 3 years before he turned them over to take that young church there in the book of Acts. Maybe, listen to me, maybe God is just ready to do something with you, for you, and allow you to do something for him. I don't know how many people have just ruined that by ignoring what God had for them. Maybe God has something for you to do. Maybe he's right on the verge to allow you to do something. Just allow him to continue to build that character in your life. Don't argue with God. Don't shake your fist at God. Be patient with God. Hey, he's been patient with you for a long time. If you've been saved any amount of time, he's been really patient with you. And so God has to just build that character before he calls you into service. And he will. He'll build that character. He'll work on you. We need to be that malleable clay in the hands of the potter. God being the potter. We being the clay. We're just a lump of clay anyway, right? We're just a lump of dirt anyway. That's all we are. Allow God to work and mold and make you into what he wants you to be and what he wants you to do. God can do that as he builds your character. And with maturity and the way God does things for us and through us, God will do that. But you know what? A lot of it comes as a result of testings and trials. Because he kind of hardens us up, not hardens us in a bad way, but solidifies us and gets us to the point where we can handle the things of life. There's a lot of people today that just can't handle life. Life is too tough. Life is too difficult. They want to end it. That's the easy way out. Allow God to build that character in your life. I'll tell you what, you'll be blessed for it. You will be blessed. God will reward you in eternity when you allow him to do his work in you. Back to James, we'll look at the fourth and final thing here. Send you off to get ice cream. James chapter 1 again, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, I could stop right there. Yeah. Do you lack a little wisdom once in a while? If any of you lack wisdom, what do? Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means he's not going to argue with you and he's not going to pick on you. He's not going to say, I told you before how to have this. No, God doesn't do it that way. He doesn't upbraid you. He doesn't argue with you. He does it for your good and my good. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The fourth main point is a believing heart. You got to believe, you got to have a heart that believes. When going through difficulties, what do we ask for? God, get me out of this! No, that's not what you ask for. God, I need some wisdom going through this. God, help me to get through it on the other side. Help me to get victory in my life through it. That's what we need. We need to have a believing heart that when we're going through some kind of a trial in our life, when we're going through that valley, God will get us through it. We have to ask for wisdom. Turn over a page to James 3 and verse 13. James 3, verse 13. Who was a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You got to have a believing heart. When you're going through a serious valley, remember, God is the God of the mountains, but he's also the God of the valleys. And when you're going through that deep, dark, depressing valley, You have to say, God, I need some wisdom. What do I do? You know, God will show you. Doesn't it say in James 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He gives us the wisdom. All you got to do is what? Ask. Is that so difficult? That's not that difficult. But again, we have people that just want to shelter themselves and not go through any trial or anything at all in their life, and you're going to never, ever grow up as a Christian. You know, knowledge, somebody said this, knowledge is the ability to take things apart, while wisdom is the ability to put them back together again. Right? Anybody can take something apart. It's putting it back together again the right way. That's where the wisdom comes in. And how do we ask? Again, we ask in faith, right? Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Just ask in faith. God, you know I don't have the wisdom that I need to get through this trial, this testing, or this tribulation, or whatever it is. Lord, I just need wisdom and I need faith to get through it. And remember, your faith is determined on your trust. On your trust. The greatest enemy to unanswered prayer is unbelief. The greatest enemy of unanswered prayer is unbelief. You just don't believe that God can do it. I just don't believe that God can get me through this. I am in such a deep, dark valley, I just don't think that God's even here. I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think God is around anywhere. God must still be up on the mountaintop where I left him. No, he's in the valley with you. He's going through it. I like what James says in verse 12. This is a beatitude. You know what the beatitudes are, right? They're blessings. And James says in verse 12 of James 1, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James closes this little section that he's dealing with this beatitude. And remember this, that outlook always determines outcome. What is your outlook on life? What is your outlook on the problem that you're going through, the trial that you're trying to get through? What is that outlook that you have? Is it a gloomy outlook or is it a positive outlook that God's going to get me through this? I just know that the Lord is with me. I know that we walk hand in hand. I'm staying faithful in my Bible reading. I'm praying. I need wisdom. God, I need this, please. I lack it. Give it to me. God will do it. He will do it. Why do we have a joyful attitude as we face trials? Or how can we have a joyful attitude when we're facing a trial? You know how you do that? You just know that God loves you. God loves you no matter what it is you're going through, no matter how serious, how severe the trial may be. And we all go through serious, severe trials at times. Thank God, I don't think they're every day of our life, but we do go through them. And we can go through those trials with a joyful attitude because we know that God loves us and that we love God. We love God, and He loves us. You can get through it. Yes, it may be difficult. It might be a tough one. But can you get through a tough one? Can God get you through a tough one?
Yes.
Is God tougher than your problem?
Yes.
Is God greater than your problem?
Yes.
Is God bigger than your giant of a trial or whatever it is that you're going through in your life? Of course. Of course He is. And remember, He never leaves us nor forsakes us, even in the valley. He's right there, trying to shed some light in that deep, dark place that we're in. The light of Jesus Christ will get you through it. The help of Jesus Christ will get you through it. And so remember today that God is the God of the mountains or the hills, as 1 Kings 20:28 says, but He's also the God of the valleys. And He told Ahab there in 1 Kings chapter 20, He says, I'm going to do this because I want everybody to know that I am the Lord. And God's going to get you through your valley Because he wants you to know that he is your Lord. He's your God. David said, over there in the 23rd Psalm, take a look at that. We'll close with that. In the 23rd Psalm, probably the most popular of all the Psalms, is the 23rd. David said these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other words, I don't have any needs that can't be met by him. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." See, there's that valley. "The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." There's that valley, and who's with you? God's with us. "Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Even in the valley, God does that. He prepares a table. He helps you. He feeds you. He delivers you in the presence of the enemies. That enemy could be looked at as a trial or a tribulation that you're going through. "Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." In other words, I have all the love and abundance that I need. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Do you mean that God's goodness and mercy will follow you to the mountaintop? Yes. How about if you're going down into the valley? Still following you. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So no matter what it is that we're going through, God is there. He's helping us. Just ask him for his wisdom. Ask him for his goodness. Say, "God, I know I'm going through this for a reason. Lord, you're trying to mature me for something. You're trying to build character for something. You may not understand it when you're going through it. You may have no idea why it is that you're going through that trial or that tribulation or that testing. You may have no clue. But once you get through it, many times God reveals it to you after you get through it. Then you can look back and say, "That's what it was. Ah, yeah, I should have known that." But sometimes we don't. God is a good God no matter what. God's a good God in the valley. God's a good God in the mountaintop. When everything's going your way, clicking along, smiling every day, you know, God is there with you. You ought to praise God for those good mountaintop days. But if you're in a valley, God's there with you. He's followed you right into the valley. And he is helping you in the valley. He's going to be with you in the valley. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that we can glean from this blessed book. And Lord, we pray that you bless the invitation now. If there's somebody here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would be saved tonight. Speak to hearts. Maybe there is somebody here or some people tonight going through a deep, dark valley. There could be some people here, Lord, or maybe there's a person that's just going through some severe depression. Lord, you can help. You can guide. You can